Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
In the sun, too long. Even
You are.
Pardon me. I dropped some strawberry preserves and it was glass and I had to clean it up. And I'm very much a stickler about little pieces of glass because they get stuck in my foot. So I was a little slow coming in here, doing what I need to do. Forgive me. I was playing music in the background and trying to text on the phone. Never mind. Anyway, listen. Good people, one and all, ladies and gentlemen. Gentle Dems and everyone in between, welcome to Epiphany Radio Universe. This is a For Real Entertainment Network sponsored by Raw Links. Why be average when you can be raw? Alright, and more importantly, you know, they got all the new stuff that's coming out, so I advise you to go to Raw Be Links on Facebook to go check out the newest stuff that's popped off and everything that's happening right there, so you can check those things out. So in the meantime, in between time, let's get to it. All right. So just in case you didn't understand, you know, every second Tuesday, usually, sometimes off, sometimes we hybrid, we do War Council. And War Council is an egalitarian, conscious, creative panel that discusses and dialogues around community issues, relationships, and current events that affect the black community. Meaning, we talk junk. Now, this is constitutionally protected. Do not take this advice as being the law. Treat it like a parable. Read it, understand it. If it matches, do it. If not, do whatever you're going to do, but don't bring it to us because that's your problem, not ours. We just like to talk, and we're going to talk about some things that if it helps you, it helps. If it don't, it don't, and everything else is going on. But tonight, continuing on in our dating series, we're going to ask you, what are your rules of engagement for dating and sex? What's that? What's going on? What are you happening? What's going on with that? How are you feeling? You know, and our subtopics are, is 2 for 20 a real date? You've probably seen videos about that. Dating with and without purpose. Dating out of your comfort zone. And what are the rules for engagement? What are the things that you're willing to do? What are your deal breakers? What's happening? What is some of the wildest shit you've even heard? Yes, we said wild shit. Whatever's going to go on. And we got crazy people here tonight that's going to sit in on the panel. We're going to talk. Now, as you understand the rules, I don't have to talk to the normal people on the War Council because we got some people stopping through to this evening. It's going to be pretty good, but I don't have to talk to you, right? I open everybody's mics. It's an open conversation. I run through. I might ask people different things, but if you feel like you have an answer, now, please understand, tell your comments. Be direct to the point. Land your plane. If you go up, make sure that you bring your plane down, all right? Don't be up there forever. You're going to run out of gas, and you know. And don't hog. If you're not new to us and you hog, I will put you back in the queue, and I will not answer you until I talk to you. We share here. It's important. It's equally as important not just to hear your own voice, but to hear others. And most certainly, it's always ladies first. So now, here's what we're about to do. We are about to open up the thing, open up our lines to our regular War Council people. You should be well and familiar with. And I just figured it out. I just realized that I have an allergic reaction to something, and I can't figure out what it is. But when I do, because I had no coughs all day, I think I coughed like twice or something like that. But we're going to bring in Mr. Wendell Berry, my favorite deep voice, intelligent, sapiosexual. Wendell, are you there?
I am here. Peace to the family. Good to be here with y'all.
Let's get it. All right, we're going to go over to Philly. We're going to check out my other favorite Philly, John, one of my best friends in the entire world, LaPrella Nigga, a.k.a. Danielle Cheney. Danielle, are you there?
Hey, everybody. I'm here. Good evening.
All right. Now, he's not a part of War Council, but we're going to let him sit tonight. Because I said, yeah, come on to War Council. Well, he pressed one. I was like, you press one. You ain't going to count. But we're going to let him slide tonight. We're going to see what he do. We're going to bring in, also for Philly, Blaze. Blaze, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am. I didn't expect you to bring me on. Okay.
If you press one, that's what happens. We actually pay attention. We press one over here. We bring people in. When you press one, that's what happens. All right? So now you sit. Be good, you know. Be
okay.
Good. And, of course, we're going to bring in the station manager, Wolverine, a.k.a. Mr. Pineapple Calligraphy, Mr. I Make Pies and Eat Them, the Green Eye Bandit.
Different flavors, too.
Mr. Van Meadows.
Oh,
what happened? Get down.
What's happening, bro? What is happening to the esteemed panel? It is a pleasure to join y'all again for another edition of this show.
Of course.
How's everybody doing?
Wait a second. Hold on. Now, we got to go get our Texas Titan, one of my favorite Zetas in the entire planet, and this is Common Sense herself. Quinita Ramel, right, a.k.a. Joan, are you here?
Good evening. I am here.
All right. We're going to shoot over to Virginia. We're going to grab our favorite lips in the entire world, Miss Lisa Lips. Are you
here? Hey, baby. I'm here.
What's happening?
I don't hear with all these top-notch people.
Huh?
Blaze, if you don't know, just watch. It's double dutch, bro. Just watch the double dutch. All right. Now, we're going to go get my other bestie, my favorite dude in the entire world. Oh, snap. I got glass in my hand. Stupid. I was like, yo, my hand hurts. Something like there's a big piece of glass looking at me. Anyway, my other dude, best friend, known him for, I don't know, 30-plus years, good man, spiritual guy, community change agent, Dawood.
Peace.
All right. Now,
I'm
we got two extra. All right, we got two extra numbers in here we're going to throw over here. Now, one of them we're familiar with because he used to be on his network, and then he went over and started his own network. It's called Drip the Mic. Y'all welcome the pulmonologist in the room, Aziz. Aziz, you there?
Yo, yeah, I'm here. What's good, family?
What's happening?
Yo, what's good?
I'm surprised, man. It's only been like a year or some change. You come on my show, man. That's all right, though. We're very forgiving here.
Nah.
We're very forgiving here. All right, and then we're gonna go to area code. We're gonna go to area code 815. I do not know who this is, but I'm going to ask. Area code 815. Who is this?
Gina Storm on the bad phone.
Oh, so Gina Storm crept up in the joint. Oh man, look at this.
Right, that's why you didn't know the number. It's the bad phone. Yes, indeed.
Man. All right, I did not know. All right.
You
so listen, I'm good. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm
surprised.
Happy
you ain't on Clubhouse? Let me stop.
You know what? I hardly ever get to get in on these shenanigans because I have a lot of things going on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But I try to hit as many mics as possible, so I'm doing my due diligence.
Well, this ain't a hit of mic, open mic. It's not a hit open mic.
I'm not trying to do the open mic. I heard the topic, and I know what's being discussed, and I'm here for the shenanigans.
Oh, so you're here to contribute. All right.
Absolutely.
So, Gina. All right, Gina. I love you to death. Gina, I love you to death. But I'm the moderator, right? And I dictate the time. We land planes over here. So I'm just going to tell you. If I say land your plane, that means you got to land your plane. All right? Because this is your first time on War Council.
Thank you.
Right?
Oh, I got you.
All right, cool. Now.
Watch that.
All right, let me throw these out here before we get to going, all right? So we're going to talk about our topic, which is what are the rules of engagement of dating. Before we get to our subtopic, we have to put out some top 10 mind-blowing statistics. Where's my music? I couldn't hear the music. All right, we have that in the background. All right, so here's some top 10 mind-blowing statistics on dating. All right, 27% of women between 25 and 34 expect men to pay for the first date, according to first date statistics. 51% of adults in serious relationships claim that they waited a couple of weeks before they had sex. Only 66% of individuals on dating sites schedule a date in real life. All right, dating trends suggest that people who meet online and get married are less likely to break up within the first year. That's interesting. 95% of the women prefer a man who is open to their emotion. Almost 1.5 American teens in high school experience abuse from a partner every year. That's serious. Watch kids. Dating facts show that 57% of men admit to having cheated on their significant other. Wow. 22% of people ask their friends to create and customize their online dating profiles. Maybe your friends be lying for you. 55% of date rapes happen within the victim's home, according to the date rape statistics. 83% of women are attracted to men who can cook. So if you can burn in the kitchen, you might have something. You might have something, all right? All right. So... using that as a thing, and we can go back and forth with it. All right, we're going to get into our first topic, right? And this is a free for all. This is a pop fly. Whoever wants to catch it can catch it. We're going to go out. So we've been watching the videos. We're watching, and we've seen the lady sitting there talking about, listen, if you're taking me for a 2-for-20 date, it's not a real date. You ain't such and such. You ain't going nowhere. So we're just going to pop fly this out to everybody in here. We're going to allow people to run through. It's a short answer. You get in here, make it happen, tell your things for a minute. We're going to go up and down. We're going to make it. Is 2-for-20 a real date, starting with Wendell? Is it a real date?
Yeah. It's a real date if you go for the purposes of trying to actually get to know somebody. If you're there for the meal, then you're probably going to leave unsatisfied. But a date is going to be what you make it. So,
mm-hmm. All right, little pearl of Negra. It's 2-for-20 a real date.
Yeah, it's a real date. I mean, I don't know. I don't understand us putting a price tag on getting to know someone, because that's what the date is about. A date is just setting a specific time and day that you want to meet up and you're going to spend some time together to start to open up the doors and getting to know one another. That's it. This you got to spend money on me and I ain't paying for it. Come on now. Come on now. Do you want to know the person or do you want to know the surroundings that he's going to put you in?
All right. That. Blaze, is 2 for $20 a real date?
Yes. Like LaPella Nigga said, are you trying to get to know the food? Because you can always eat. Or are you trying to get to know me? Or am I trying to get to know you? So, I mean, I think that's a sufficient date. Yeah, that's a date.
Mm. All right. So we are go to Van Meadows. I already know your answer, but I want to hear you say it anyway. This is a real date. I already know, but go ahead.
Bro, if I ask you out and she say yes, that means that you are accepting the terms of whatever I choose, where we go and what we do. You already said yes. So, yeah, it's a date. It's a date.
It's a date. All right. All right, Lisa Lips, 2 for $20. Is it a date or not?
I agree with the panel. It's about trying to know the person. It's not about what you send it. What isn't a real date to me is a movie. Can't talk to nobody in a movie.
Oh, okay, all right. We're changing the confines of what we're doing. We'll get back to that in a second. I'm going to put that in the parking lot. All right, Aziz, yay or nay?
Yeah, I agree with the panel. It's definitely a date. Now here's the thing though. If I, you know, first date situation, yeah. But if I take my wife out, I can't do that. But she can do it. So if she paying, yeah, it's a date with us. But if I'm doing it, it ain't.
That sounds complicated, but we're going to get into that. I'm going to put that in the parking lot. I'm going to put that in the parking lot.
Please
line.
Put that in the parking lot.
If I do it, it's not
that
date.
That's bullshit.
I'm putting that in the parking lot. That's definitely in the parking lot. You know, so we're going to go from you, Dawood. 2 for $20,
yes,
bro. 2 for $20. Date or not?
I don't know, bro. Like, you know, I've been in this dating world for a little while, and I just think things are flexible is all I'm going to say. I generally like to take somebody out, pay for the whole date, and take care of everything. And I know that, you know, some people look down on that, and they say that you should swap, or some people say you should allow the woman to pay, then you pay and go Dutch and stuff like that. But I'm kind of a traditional guy. So first, second, or third date, I'm going to insist that I pay, you know, the whole nine yards. I'm going to get the door, all of that other stuff, because that's just how I do it. If a woman was to take me out on a date and pay for it, that would kind of be a surprise to me, because I usually am the person that takes them out on dates. Not saying it won't happen or it doesn't happen, but I'm just used to being the guy that, you know, chooses the place and, you know, based on who I'm dealing with and what kind of experience I want to give them, I may go to a nicer restaurant. I may go to on a coffee date. But I think a lot of times, in modern times, it all depends on how timid the person is. Because sometimes if the person doesn't know you and they've never met you before, you're going to have to go to like a coffee shop or someplace that is well lit and has people during the daytime just so they can feel comfortable around you. So I think it's the level of comfortability.
All right, so
as far as that's all right, concerned.
So I'm gonna take that because you know I'm gonna take that. So I'm gonna put level of comfortability. We gonna put that in the parking lot too, that we come in because that plays into it. All right, Gina Storm, 2 for $20, real date or not?
So I need you to specify what exactly is 2 for $20 because I don't know the reference.
All right, 2 for $20.
I'm sorry.
2 for $20.
I don't know the math.
No. There's a famous restaurant chain that shall not be named that says that you can buy, you know, you take someone out and it's two of you and you spend $20 for what you're eating. You get an appetizer, you get a main course, you get a dessert with a drink.
Oh, snap. Okay, so wow. Really? I was assuming that. I'm going to be honest
with you.
You
just discovered that? Like,
that's
you just
a real thing? Like, yeah, because, no, what you need to understand is this. The only reason I'm asking the question is because I have no reference. if I knew what that was, then I could respond accurately immediately. But I had to pause because I have no reference for things. But
all
because
right.
I know now that it is an actual thing, I would have to say, if the gentleman I don't want to even say been raised right, but if he knows what his place is when it comes to the whole dating experience, and he feels like this would be a comparable meal and I could be satisfied, then by all means, I'm not going to decline the invitation. We're going to accept it. But if I had my preference, because I had no prior knowledge of the, say, 2 for $20?
Yeah, all right. So,
yeah, so,
since you're not
all I can
with
say
it.
Is this. It's a date because I was asked out and I accept it. And if I do all so,
right.
whatever is on the menu, I'm going to make my selection and move forward because he took the initiative. And that's enough for
all
me.
All right, cool. All right, thank you, Gina Storm.
You're welcome.
All right, we're going to go to Quinita Ramel Wright, a.k.a. Joan. Close us out.
I'm going to say that I 64% agree with the panel that it is a date, but it's not a good date, and I'm just going to be honest. With that, because if a date is allowed
I was gonna say pause. It's not a good date. We'll start with that. We're gonna start with that. We'll come back because we won't run through the parking lot because then we're gonna get to these other topics. And I'm going to add the ego in dating because Wendell added that. I didn't get a chance to put that in there, but I think we can get it in. But go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if it's a date. I would, if I were taking a man out, I wouldn't take him to 2 for $20 because I would want him to know me, and I'm about putting my best foot forward and giving some thought and effort. So I've never met a person and just decided without conversation that we were going to exchange energy and go out on a date. So I would think that I would know a little bit more about the person and really put some thought into what we're going to do while we get to know each other. And that's just me.
Yeah. So sorry. That's my phone in the background. All right. So 64%, actually almost everybody, with the exception, there was some hesitation on Dita Storm's behalf because she didn't know that there was a 2 for $20. But what the hell? Wrong one. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Man, I'm having these technical difficulties already. Never mind. Most of the panel agreed that it was a date. And so anything else. But what happened was a few things happened that went in the parking lot that we have to come back to. All right. Joan said it's not a good date. It's not a good date, right? And then Aziz said it's not a date if I'm paying for it from my wife, which means there's some negativity involved in that. This is 2 for $20. This is not a real date. So we're talking about the energy of the date. We already know that there's agreement. People go out and set out whatever people decide to do. Some people like cheap dates. Some people just want to get together and just see each other's faces. I don't know. And some people, they don't date at all. They just go straight to the hotel room and do what they do. However, so we're not talking about that. Let's talk about why is 2 for 20 a bad date? And I'm just leave this open for anybody to hop on and tell me, you know, who agrees with Joan. And Joan, you can also punctuate by answering this because this is your thing that you say it.
I want to know, how do you determine whether, by the price of it, whether it's going to be a good or a bad date? I don't understand that. Because you're putting a price on getting to know someone right there in their space instead of just wanting to meet up with them. Because they take you somewhere to eat and they want to be frugal, That doesn't mean that it has to turn out to be a bad date. There are other things that come about besides the eating part. There could be a nice show afterwards. There could be a walk and a nice talk. A lot of other things come about. I don't know about this it being a good or a bad date because it's not a lot of money spent on where you eat. There'll be a lot of money spent on where you go afterwards, what the activities are. You don't know what's planned afterwards. I just can't see determining whether it's going to be good or bad. The person that you are meeting up to have that date with and their energy, I think, determines whether or not it turns out to be a good or a bad date. Not so much the price of the food. Because 2 for $20 just means you're going and you can get 2 meals for the price of one. You're not staying there the whole date. I should hope not. I mean, there are other things that are going on unless you're just going out to eat and he's going to drop you off.
Other than that,
I don't know.
Okay. Does anybody else think it's why or why not it's not a good date?
Well, I want to go back to my statement. I never said anything about the price of the date. I just said that it just showed lack of effort on whoever planned it, whether it's male or female. And if there's something else that's included on that night or that day or whatever it is, that creates a whole different conversation, a whole different dynamic. But you should, I just think that if you are taking the time, like I think everybody on the panel is probably over the age of 30. If you're taking time out of your day to spend time with a person to get to know them, I would just assume you would want to do more than split some wings and some salsa and chips.
Hmm.
I mean, it's just, I mean, but that's me. Like, I'm not going to do anything that's half of an effort, especially if it's somebody that I actually want to get to know.
Okay. You have right, so high expectations. Okay.
If the initial contact is this is the meet and greet, and the two of you are taking the time to have a conversation and get to know each other, appetizers, not even an entree, a necessity. Have a cocktail. See what this person is like when they've had an alcoholic beverage. Have an appetizer because you're putting food on your stomach. If you don't get to the main course, that's fine. But at least you know that you gave your best effort. You swung for the fence for your at-bat. If this is the best that they could do, and I feel like, honestly, for a meet and greet, you shouldn't spend a lot of money. I salute the frugality of the individual who makes a date, makes plans, sets it up, and the two of you meet at the designated place. And if 2 for $20 is the option, then by all means employ it and see, because during the course of appetizer, entree, dessert, an alcoholic beverage, if there has been no connection, then this whole conversation is mute and we're not moving forward. But if you click and something works for you and you like to see this person again, then on the next at-bat, I'm not saying they didn't bring their best foot forward in the first place, and it was terrible. No, like Danielle said, this can't be based on a price point. So if the pearl neck
no,
is saying,
I know, but what we're doing right now is we're kind of getting into semantics about what it is and what it isn't, and anything else when we're talking about that. We are the concrete things is effort, the energy of the situation which was brought up, and seeing how all these things come together. Like, how does it work? Because everybody's got a different plan for the rule for their planets. All right, everybody. But what we want to do is we want to make sure that we get everybody else in here. So Gina, I'm going to respect asking. I'm going to land your plane because I want to get other opinions in here real quick.
I appreciate it. I just understood what she was saying, and I had to agree. But I love it. This is great. Thank you.
So, Dawood, Aziz, any of y'all? Because Aziz, you're gonna have to answer that whole thing. I'm coming to you after we get some other opinions on this. So, is it a good date or not? And it can be answered. But let's go with Blaze. Come on, Blaze. is it a good date or not?
I mean, it's up to the individual if it's a good date or not. If you have any immaturity on date, of course it's not going to be a good date. I don't care if you, how much money you spend on it. If one person is immature in how they interact with the other person, then no, it's not going to be a good date. You can spend $200 on a date. You can set it up perfectly. You can do everything else after the date. But if this person is immature in understanding how to conversate with on the date, how to get along with the other person on a date, it's going to be a sucky date. So I don't care how much money you put into it. If you don't click, if it's never meant for you to click, then you're not going to click. And so it's up to the maturity of those parties involved in going on this date and it being the most beautiful date in the world or the most suckiest date in the world. And it can be a coffin. Honestly, it can be
but
a coffin.
You know, you're not really talking about the date. We're talking about why it is. You answered it and then you went into the whole thing. So it could be anything. Your opinion is it could be anything as long as there's a connection. Is that what I hear you saying?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I just want to make sure. All right. Because we do have a lot. So I'm going to take two more responses, and then we're going to come to Aziz. So anybody else have a response to why it is or is not a good date based on a 2 for 20?
I got an answer.
All right. Go ahead.
It's not a good date because I don't like the restaurant, so I would never go there.
There's always one. There's always one. Come on. You don't like the riblets? Come on now, man.
No,
you
gotta
like the riblets.
That's why.
Don't like them.
He a cook. Like a cook. Real cook. Chef cook.
We can go get into that. All right. Lips or Wendell? Or Dawood? Your answer?
Yeah, I'm jumping on this one. Things are going to be as you deem them to be. So if you're going into the date and you've already purposed that it's not going to be a good date, then it's not going to be a good date, 2 for 20 or otherwise. Now, if seeing that that's where you are is going to be the thing that makes it a bad date for you, then that just is what it is, and it's probably good that the other person know that. So that, they don't invest any more energy, effort, and resources, into you if that is going to be your disposition on the date that they put together. The meal typically comes first. Activities typically come afterwards. So if after seeing where you're eating, you've already deemed that it's going to be a bad date, then all right, that is a judgment call that you are making, and it's good that the other person who's taking you out figures that out up front so that they can govern themselves accordingly.
All right. That's what's up. Last thing, anyone else want to hop in?
I kind of feel like that whether or not it's a good date has nothing to do with how much you pay for it. It's whether or not there's a connection. Of you, if you can have conversation, have talk about, and that has nothing to do with the price of the meal.
All right. Well, I got something coming from the back channel. It said all first dates should be 2 for 20. Weed out the homosexuals looking for a come up. You be wilding out in the back channel.
Way to tie in last week, the war council.
Listen. Feel free if you don't want to comment, you don't want to raise your hand, feel free to throw your comments. And if you're streaming, some of y'all are streaming, I know that you're streaming, feel free to hit me back channel with all your questions and answers, and we will bring them forth before the council. But before we get into that, we're going to talk to Aziz. So Aziz, you said something that was really, really interesting. You said, it's not a date if I pay for it, but it's a date if your wife pays for it. I need an explanation, bro.
No, it was actually just so me and my wife, we share this joke. Like, her favorite is hibachi. Like, she likes the hibachi restaurant down the street. And so anytime I, you know, want to just, you know, have a date with her or whatever, I know that's the restaurant we're going to eat at, regardless of whether the rest of the date is going to be. So I was actually just kind of joking with her about that, because the joke is, compared to that, my favorite is wherever we eat. If it's McDonald's, if it's the taco truck down the street, you know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, I don't have a favorite. It's just where we eat. But so I was actually just fucking with my wife, because she was right here listening to me at the time. So, but
all right.
No, but we do have a date night though. But like, I was just comparing that to first dates and shit. So I couldn't get away with this shit.
All right. Oh, got another back channel. All right, and I'm gonna ask this question: what is the best? What is the best and the cheapest date? The best and the cheapest date that you ever had, and this is for everybody on the council. What is the best and the cheapest date that you've ever had? So y'all can just hop in.
I'll go for it. The best and cheapest date that I remember ever having, I was dating a guy, and he packed a picnic and carried me to this little secluded beach. There was only like 10 people out there. And we had a picnic on the beach, and he packed food from his house and brought it. It was amazing. He had a ball.
All right. Anyone else? Best and cheapest date.
Yep, mine pretty much went like that too. He cooked the food, he put it in a basket, and we went down by the river, and was sitting under a tree and just drinking and talking and having a good time. That was the best date I ever had, man. Food was real good too, but he cooked.
83%. That's what it says. It says 83% of the men who get. It says 83% of women are attracted to men who can cook. And it says, believe it or not, women are more impressed by kitchen skills than men. According to statistics, 75% of men claim that they find a woman who cooks attractive. Expert advised couples should cook together to build cooperation, improve communication, and uncover more about each other. All right, so. Going back to the council, we had a couple of you answer. What is the best and the cheapest? What is the cheapest and the best date that you ever had? So, anyone else?
I say yesterday I went on a date with a female that I met at a job I used to work at, and I had been wanting to take her out on a date for a while. So we went to the Cheesecake Factory yesterday. We had probably the best time that I've ever had on a date. She agrees, and I had a salad, a huge salad, and she had a nice, what was it, salmon meal.
You have to describe it. Just talk about the date.
Oh, I'm sorry. But yeah, the date was awesome. We had fun conversating. We laughed and giggled and joked about certain things, and we just had a real fun time, and we stayed there for about a good hour. So, I mean, and then afterwards, she came back up here to my job today, and we spent some time together today. So, like, it turned out really good.
All right. All right. You sound like you was about to get into some. We ain't going to get into that yet. Well, you ain't been here long enough for us to joke with you like that. So, all right, anybody else? Best... The cheapest and the best date that you had.
I got one. Oh, go ahead.
All right, go ahead.
Cheapest date I had was I met a guy at a house party. And we decided at our meeting that was going to be our first date. The food was provided by the people who were already there. And he taught me a lot of things about motorcycle riding and, you know, book writing and just how to do a lot of different stuff. We made some business deals, and that was the best date. That was the best date. It didn't cost either one of us anything. We were both there, but it was about the effort and it wasn't about the money.
Effort. effort. Energy and effort. I like that. All right, anybody else?
I want to add something to Pot. I went on a date. It wasn't even a date. Let me give you the backstory. Okay, so I had a boyfriend that I thought was my boyfriend. He had three girlfriends. I was one of them.
Wait, hold on. Gina.
Mm-hmm.
We aren't going to tell the story. Talk about the
no,
date.
No. I just wanted to tell you how I got to the date. It wasn't a date because I was there for someone else. But I met a guy at the reception, and we danced together for a while. And we ate together at the reception, and we had a few drinks. And the next day, we went on and had coffee and talked and got to know each other. So even though I was breaking up with the boyfriend that I was there to support, I ended up meeting a man that was actually better suited for me. So we, like the previous person said, didn't spend any money. We had an amazing time. And even the coffees were comped because the coffee shop that we went to was owned by a friend of mine who paid for our biscotti as well as he had a cafe au lait and I had an espresso. But it was amazing. We didn't spend any money. We got to know each other and we're still friends today. And even though it wasn't a romantic date necessarily, it was definitely a connection that I value.
All right, that's what's up. All right. Somebody said something behind you. Was that you, Dawood, or was that
That was me. That was Wendell.
Okay, go ahead, Wendell.
Yeah, I just I had a date one time, and we actually went dancing. Went to a dance lesson, a salsa dance lesson. It wasn't expensive. It was, you know, $10 for the lesson. Per person, so you know, $20 for a 2-hour lesson. We had an opportunity to learn salsa with each other, and then with other folks to get familiar and acclimated. And had such a good time there that afterwards we went to another location and we went downtown and just started walking through downtown of the city. And we were just walking and talking. And that was probably one of the best dates that I've been on because I enjoy dancing. I discovered that she enjoyed dancing, and that created a foundation of commonality upon which future interactions were built upon. And so that's what made it pretty dope for me.
Oh, that's dope. Like the walking and talking. Real quick, back channel. Best and cheapest date was a picnic with a great view. The one-on-one time, good music, good vibes, felt like a vacuum. By the end of it, I felt like I'd known him for years. That was from the back channel. And for myself, one of the best and cheapest dates I ever had was I went to a park. Cost no money. And I literally, like anybody who knows me, like I don't, me and outside don't get along. I don't do bugs. I just don't do bugs. But I literally got out in this park and I went to sleep in the park, a public park at that, like laid out and just was gone. And I had grass, like I had the grass between my hands and my toes. It was such a weird experience, but I felt rooted, I felt grounded. That was dope. And then the second best date I ever had was somebody who was really, really cute, didn't know that I could like make chocolate strawberries. And so I literally was like, that was good. But and actually, the other one was a cooking class. The cooking class was bomb. That was super bomb. Like, if you want to go on a date, go do a cooking class. That shit is fire. Anyway, we're going to move on from this. We're going to move on from this. We're going to go to our second topic. You guys have been rocking out, doing everything that we need to do with this. We're going to move on to dating with or without purpose. And so what is dating with purpose and dating without purpose, right? I thought, this was you, Joan, right? You put this up here? Joan, that
was
you, right?
Me. That was me.
All right, well, come on. Give me the thing. It's you. Come on, we'll talk about it. It's your joint.
In a previous show, I can't remember who said it, but it was one of the guys who said basically dating with purpose is the bullshit that sometimes men say in order to get the sex. But in speaking with a lot of women that I know, they just want to know, like, what is the purpose of this interaction between me and this guy? And so women are, you know, now saying, like, hey, if it's just going to be sex, let me know that it's just going to be sex so that we can get on with the purpose of, you know, the plan, as opposed to, you know, not really, you know, like people are like, well, we're going to kind of kick it and then we'll see where this goes. And so some people are on the path to, this is what I would like to do, is marriage, picket fence, you know, whatever. And other people are kind of just out here, you know, doing whatever, seeing where it goes. So for me, it's just, you know, are you dating with a purpose? Or are you, you know, just dating with no purpose?
So now that that's been put out on the floor, dating with purpose and without purpose, thoughts, opinions, who wants to go first? Throw your hat in the ring.
I think they all date with a purpose, period. When you decide to go out with somebody, you have a purpose, regardless of what it is. Some people date, like she said, for a long-term thing. They actually want to get to know that person. So they have plans on sticking around and keeping them around. Some people go out just for, excuse me, for the fuck of it because they're bored. Yeah, why not? I'll go out with you. You know, I'm not dealing with nobody. Why not? You know, they don't really have any plans for later, or they really might not even be interested in that person. They just want to get out and do something. So, but it's still all some kind of purpose that we have before we even go out on that date. So that's just my opinion.
All right. Next person.
Yeah, I think some people, I think some
wait,
people.
Hold on. Wait. Hold on, Blaze. Somebody was talking before you. So
okay.
We'll come to you right afterwards.
Oh,
go ahead.
No, okay. That was me, but I will defer. I'll go afterwards.
Okay. Well, he deferred to you, Blaze, so go ahead.
Okay. What I was saying was that this dating with a purpose is just like maybe you haven't been out on a date in a long time, or you maybe have been married and divorced, and you just want to get out there to see what the dating scene is like. I mean, that is purposeful because you just don't know what, you know, what dating is like anymore, and you want to get back out there to see what the dating scene is like, and just to communicate with people. But then the other dating part of it is you really are purposely trying to get to know somebody. And you maybe want to make a long term out of it. And if that person is willing to do so, it may end up in marriage. So like there's always, like Danielle said, there's always a purpose behind it, but it may not, one might be a little bit heftier than the other one. Reason why. As far as what your purpose is dating somebody.
Okay. We're going to go to Wendell.
All right. So for me, dating with a purpose is it's cold. And when I hear that terminology, when I hear that particular phraseology, it immediately puts me in the mindset of agenda. So whether or not the guy is saying I'm dating with a purpose, and if you're not stating what the purpose is, it could be any myriad of things. Like the sister said, it could just be just trying to get some sex. But when I hear a woman say it, they typically are using that as code word for I'm trying to get married, or I'm looking for someone who is looking to get married. And so what the connotation for me that I take from that is that you're looking for an outcome over an authentic connection. Now that authentic connection could potentially lead to whatever it is that, you know, your agenda is. But if it doesn't, then it would seem to me that it would be looked at as
as less than meaningful. And for me, in the way that I love and I relate to people, I would much rather connect authentically with you and allow that connection to organically develop into what it is supposed to be, rather than try to make it be what I think that I want it to be. Because you may not be the person that I need to connect with for the long term, but that doesn't make me any less valuable, because there can be some commonality that can be mutually beneficial. So yeah, that kind of puts a sour taste in my mouth, because like I said, it to me, it kind of takes that you're looking for a particular outcome rather than you're looking at the person. You're looking for someone to fit in your picture, as opposed to getting to know the person and all the ins and outs of what they could potentially bring to your life.
So, all right, cool.
That's it.
All right, so now I'm going to go to Daoud.
So as far as dating with a purpose, well, no disrespect, because you know I got nothing but love for my sister, for you know, but dating with a purpose is kind of bullshit to me. The whole concept of it, it's like, I'm going on a date with you for the first time. Calm the fuck down. Trying to get me to categorize something. You know what I'm saying? I'm just not with that. Totally not with that. Either we're going to find out if we got chemistry or not. This whole idea of totally categorizing some date is just like bullshit to me. It really is. It's like, calm down. I'm just meeting you for the first time. I'm going to take you out. I'm going to be myself. Hopefully you be yourself, and we'll go from there. But for us to try to put some strict, heavy category on some shit, the first time we meet each other, I've seen this. And me being outside, I've seen this. And every time I've seen this, it's been some bullshit. Because you're asking me to be clear, but 9 times out of 10, you're vague. Take it, deal me?
Bar.
Now, I got to be 100% clear. But 9 times out of 10, you're being vague, and you get to basically pivot according to how I answer and what I do. And I'm just not with that shit. I go out with you on the first time, we are getting to know each other, unless we've been talking to each other over the phone prior for an extended period of time, and or we have known each other from you know, childhood. But the first time I'm going on a date, I don't even know you. I don't know how you are. I could meet you and say, hey, listen, I'm dating intentionally. I'm trying to do this. You could be the craziest chick on the planet. And then that's why I got to stick to my word.
I'm just gonna say, I know life experiences are applicable here.
Well,
I know life experiences are applicable. No, I'm just
keeping it 100 with you, bro. Like, since
I know you're keeping it 100 because I know exactly what you're talking about. I was like, yeah, I remember that finally. Anyway,
so that's my take on it. My bad.
I was like, yeah, because I was hearing it. So I was like, bro, because I don't want it to seem like you pointed at. Like, I don't want you to point the gun. The gun was not pointed. Like, real shit happened. Can I give a synopsis?
Again,
just,
it's definitely
somebody,
not nobody
somebody,
here. Because I love me some Jones.
All right. No,
it's definitely
somebody,
not nobody here. It's just...
Somebody...
Huh?
I'm just... Quick synopsis. No names. Somebody who was trying to date Daoud was trying to marry him off the rip. And was saying crazy shit to him, so that's why he's like, "I'm not with that shit." Like,
you want the whole thing, but goddamn,
based on
they came out that gate.
But here's that's why I brought it up.
because I couldn't remember who said it, so clearly it was Dawoo. But I knew somebody said it, but it was bullshit.
No, I'm laughing because he was like, what the you don't even know me.
Damn.
You don't even know me. How you trying to, what the hell? What the hell is this? You know?
Yo,
I don't know how long we was on the phone after that. He's like, what the fuck does this mean? I'm like, she crazy. I was like, she crazy.
Yo, that's
we all me and you,
me,
you be like,
I got into character.
I'll be like, oh, you crazy. Huh? So you come out, oh, such and such, blah, blah, blah. All right, nah, because, hold on one second. Anyway, so I was saying that because because crazy stuff happens to people. People get into that all the time. Like, and it goes both ways. It goes for everybody. Like with anything else that's happening. It messed me up. I'm coughing up the lung. Anyway, but because you'll get people who they say that they're dating with intention. Like and. And I'm just going to throw this out here because, you know, because there are people who literally, like, there'll be somebody who will make you try to jump through all the hoops in the goddamn world. And then they'll go and bang out the next dude just like that. You know? They'll be like, wait a second, you bang him out, but I got to take you out. I got to go all these things. I'm coming to your house. I'm doing your laundry. What the fuck?
And jump through mad hoops.
Well, I need to be.
Jump through mad hoops, bro.
Damn.
Yeah. And he's like, let me, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, because you're a better quality of man than he is. So yeah. He's dick and I'm everything else. That's what you're saying. So.
Wow.
I'm everything else.
Basically. That's the truth. That is the truth. That it happens like that, man.
Yeah.
What the tire fuck? Wow. Oh, my God.
This is why I love War Council, because it's all real. There's not a one fake person on this panel. Everybody be like, what the fuck is you talking about? What the fuck is you talking about? What is you saying? Anyway, let me throw these statistics in here. I know I was supposed to throw the thing in, but I'm going to do it at 10:30. I'm going to do the station identifier at 10:30. All right. So we were talking about dating with purpose and stuff like that. So... they have this thing that says 10 rules for dating with intention. Number one, set high standards and never compromise on them. Two, don't impress, express. Three, confidence comes from knowing what you have to offer and knowing what you want. Four, your courtship is effortless. Five, you can't fuck it up. It really says that though. Six. No one completes you. You complete yourself. I agree with
that.
Yeah,
I didn't write that, y'all.
Yeah. Seven, there's no rush. Enjoy the process. Eight, your vulnerability is a strength. I don't know if I agree with that. Nine, there's no such thing as rejection. Hell the fuck yeah, there's a thing called rejection. I don't know.
Who came up with this
about.
List?
Listen, this is what you call it? This is Huffington Post.
Wow.
That's a bullshit right there.
Right, yeah, I heard a bunch of bullshit up in there.
Yeah, he was like, oh, nigga. number 10. Follow the attraction that challenges you to grow. Now, since we were talking about it, let's get into it, because we're talking about the intentions and dating for that. I mean, what is most people's intentions to date? Like you, and you could talk from your personal experience. Like, you know, like,
well,
for me, you know, I gotta reasonably like you. Like honestly, I gotta be able to talk to you. If I can't talk to you, I'm like, it's out the window. You can have all the stuff in the world, and trust me, everything is nice, but you know, the body fades. the mind is at. I love creative, you know, all that. Go ahead. You were saying? Go ahead.
Well, with me, I don't even go into it into dating with intentions. If I'm going to do anything with a purpose, once it's time to commit, or once we do commit or decide to commit, I'll commit with a purpose. But I'm dating to have fun. I don't know if you could deal with how goofy I could get sometimes. I don't know if I can deal with how goofy you may not get sometimes. I don't know if you might dislike or like the fact whether I smoke weed. I'm dating you because I like hanging around you. But I'm not doing none of that with any intentions, like emotional, sexual, or any other kind of intentions. It's just that we like having fun. We like hanging with each other, and we seem to have fun when we hang with each other. Then let's do it. Then if it does go to that next level and we decide to turn into a relationship or get exclusive, then, yeah, I'll do that with a purpose. But I'm not going out on nobody's day with no intentions or no purposes. It's just like I like how things went the last time we take it. I like to do it again. If you feel the same way, let's get it, you know, and then we'll go from there.
Mm.
And then I do want to agree with, I think it was the brother that would. I want to agree with that is, like, on the first date, like, I don't like that interviewing me for marriage shit. You know, like that, mm-hmm. that, you know, you ask me a couple of questions.
Word.
Hey, what you do for a living? How many kids do you have? What are your hobbies? You know, shit like that. But if you know, where you see yourself in 5 years? You know, all that bullshit, you know.
Word.
I don't even know if I like you enough to give you that information yet. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just have fun. I do agree with one thing in that 10 commandments or whatever that shit was. Enjoy the process. So yeah, let's enjoy the process. Let's just enjoy each other and see if we can even fuck with being around each other before we even decide to start making any intentions or purposes.
I feel you. I definitely feel you. Let me swoop back around because I have to hit Van Meadows and Gina, because I know Gina's been sitting on the outskirts. Come on in. Come on in, Van Meadows. Your opinion, please.
You want my opinion on this right here?
Yeah, this right here. I know I was in hell with the kerosene drawers on, but come on with the flame.
Bruh, first of all, that whole interviewing me for marriage, that's not going to work for me. That date will be over, like, right then and there. Right then and there. I am dating to have fun. I've been married for 20 years to two women who clearly did not want to be married. So I'm very selective about who I spend my time with, first and foremost. Because I don't want to waste my time either. If you are not trying to have fun, we're going out on a date. Then why are we going out on a date? If your agenda, let's be clear up front, if your agenda is you're dating to find a husband, skirt, we done. We don't even need to go no further. We can stop this right now.
He did the break.
Because there are other people who share the same sentiment where they want a date to have fun. And they're not looking for a quote-unquote commitment of that level. And if it should get to that point, because we like hanging around each other, we enjoy the time that we spend, if it gets to that point and it should develop into something serious, then we can talk about that at that time. But right now, yes, I agree. Enjoy the process. But all the other stuff on that list, BS.
Everybody's like, oh, fuck this list.
You want to know what's crazy, though? All through college, man, Huffington Post was like one of my reputable sources when I wrote my papers. Now? Nah, bro. Nah. Trash. Put them in the trash.
Wow. Wow. Interesting stuff altogether. All right, so let's hold on. Let's get back, put that on there. All right, Gina. Gina.
Talking on mute. Yes.
So I agree with Van.
Poetic
had a valuable point that he made when he said dating for fun. I've always dated for purpose. When I met and dated my first ex-husband, I was a teen. I had my mom teach me how to cook because I wanted to be able to feed a family. And she was like, baby, I thought you were planning on going to college and doing all these great things. I am, but I also want to be a mother and a wife. And I didn't know how I could do that if I couldn't feed a family. So we started doing cooking lessons. The reality was this, as I grew older, because like that was, I was in my teens when I met my daughter's dad. I was 21 when I married him, 22 almost when we had our child, and we traveled a lot during our marriage. We were married for 12 years. My second husband, if you blinked in 2014, you missed it. I married him in May. He became a new dad in September. We got divorced in October. He had met an older version of me. Had he met a younger me, we would probably still be married. The reality is sometimes your goals change because who you are changes. And as you evolve, what you're looking for and seeking from dating will. So I went from dating with a purpose so that I could find a husband and get married to dating to make myself happy because I was happy by myself. So if I can be with someone else and they can make me happy, great. And if not, that's okay too.
Bars.
Yeah, all right, that's what's up.
That's
all right.
It.
All right, so let me come around to Blaze.
Blaze? Yes, sir.
Okay, so
I got lost.
So your opinion?
I'm not sure. Same question you had. Give me that question again, please.
We were talking about dating with intention. So we were going with it from there.
Dating with intention. I thought we had already answered this. Dating with intention or dating with purpose. Is that the same thing?
So, you said what? Say that again?
Yeah, dating with a purpose, I thought was the same as dating with intention.
I mean, yeah. But I'm saying your opinion.
Oh, because people don't know what the hell they want, like the whole, it can be hard on the brain, I think, because everybody got their own little hidden agendas. Sometimes, and so you don't necessarily know intentionally what somebody's trying to do, you know, because I guess females have been played with so much that they're now playing the game, and even if you're serious, you don't know if she's serious or not, or vice versa. So, like, I really don't know how to even answer that question, because too many people playing games and nobody being serious about nothing because, you know, you hurt me or some other dude hurt me or some other female hurt me, and now I'm just kind of like playing with your mind, trying to give you stuff that I want you to hear, but I'm telling you the truth. So I don't know.
All right. Lisa Lips.
For me, dating with a purpose for myself, my own frame of reference, I have a purpose going out, whoever I go out with. I want to get to know you. I just want to hang out with you. I want to whatever. It's because I tend to spend time talking to you before we go out on the date. So I have a purpose, and in the long run, I would like to somehow find a companion that's going to be around for a while. But I don't go out with the agenda to find a husband on the first date. It's about getting to know who you are and seeing where we fit.
Wow. All right. So we've been rocking with this for a minute. I was looking in the back channel for something because I think I had an opinion, but hold on. Let me just check real quick. All right. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. I'm not going to read that. I'm not reading that. I'm sorry. Sorry for the back. Sorry, back channel. Not reading that. I'm gonna pass on that one. All right, so we're gonna get it back to everything else. We got 3 minutes. We got 3 minutes real quick before we get to the thing. The station identifier, which I'm probably gonna find the shortest one I can find. All right. So this next one, all right, since we were talking about the dating with the purpose and everything else like that, I'll just surmise mine like. What in my opinion, what I've noticed, what's good for me is my purpose can only be ascertained by the person who reciprocates that which I give or shines upon me or gives to me in the way that makes me feel the way that I feel. Like if someone takes care of my heart or leads to my mind, like then I ultimately start to think about that person in a different way. Like if I start thinking about you in a different way, then I start to have intentions. Then I start to have something where I'm like, all right, well, listen, you know, let me talk to you. Let me, you know, and it's not even the physical. It's the energy. It's the connection. It's the feeling. It's the knowing. You know what I'm saying? That makes it intentional. Now, anything else with like that, anybody else to try to come through and do something? wait, that would wait for it. Do something. Like, I can't wait to spend the rest of my life with you. Nigga, I know you 3 days. Fuck. If anyone ever texts me that, I'm just gonna block you. I'm gonna just kick you off my phone. Don't. I'm just gonna get rid of you. Sorry, that was like this nigga here. Anyway, I got a back channel. I said, all right, this conversation got the fellas upset. A lot of women date in search of security. It is not always financial security. Sometimes they want to know if they let a guy in close that he'll be around. Not everyone deserves your full attention. That was from the back channel. All right, just so we have it.
What was they trying to say again?
All right, hold on. The person said, this conversation got the fellas upset. And they was like, LOL. A lot of women date in search of security. It's not always financial security. Sometimes they want to know if they let a guy in close, he'll be around. Not everyone deserves your full attention. That was the thing. All
not
right,
the
so,
cap.
Well, yeah.
No.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, right.
Huh. I don't even know how to. I don't want to get on nobody's bad
no.
side, but I'm not even going to respond. All right, never mind. I'm going to say nothing.
Well, what we're gonna do right now is 10:30. We're gonna take a station identification break. We're gonna reset, and we're gonna get back into War Council here on Epiphany Radio Universal for Real Entertainment Network. We're gonna move into our next topic, which is dating out of your comfort zone, and I believe this is Dawood's topic. And so we're gonna throw this radio ID on it, and we will see you in about a minute.
Network. Your port to Yacht.
The next phase is online radio. Epiphany. From what amazing studio. Epiphany.
All right, all right, all right. All right. here we'll be back here on the 50 Radio Universal for Real Entertainment Network. Welcome to War Council. War Council is a conscious, creative, egalitarian panel that deals with issues of the community. And right now and to this day, we are talking about what are your rules of engagement for dating and sex. And one of our topics coming up next is dating out of your comfort zone. So, Dawood, please take it away.
Hold on, let me scroll up real quick, because I think I had laid this whole thing out in the inbox, but essentially the concept of dating outside your comfort zone is everybody kind of pretty much knows what they think their type is. You know, you may, if you are feminine, you may like thin women. If you're a bigger woman, you like me, you may like bigger dudes. Some people have a color preference, like they like darker men or lighter men, darker women, lighter women, you know, whatever. And do you think that, I guess the question I want to start off by asking is, do you think that you would be more successful dating outside your comfort zone if your current experiences inside your comfort zone have led to not what you really wanted, i.e., you know, not a committed relationship, not a loving relationship, or whatever it is that you were looking for? You haven't found it in your comfort zone. Do you think it would be better if you dated outside your comfort zone, something totally different? Do you think you would have better results?
Anybody hop in? Anybody hop in? It's a free-for-all.
Possibly. You never know where you're going to find that good relationship or in who you're going to find it. So I think going outside of your comfort zone, though it may be challenging, you may find what you're looking for. Anything is possible. So I think a lot of people need to try that, actually. Since we keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, hooking up with the same exact person, same personality type, characteristics, and it just ain't working. Because there's something that we're going to pinpoint, and we're going to make comparisons to those same types of individuals. So I think it would be a good thing to step outside of your comfort zone. That's what pushes us and leads us to success. You never reach success being comfortable. Success is not comfortable. It's uncomfortable. So, I think you would. Yeah, definitely.
For me, I am actually stepping outside of my comfort zone tomorrow. I tend to have always liked big, tall dudes, and I avoid poets at all costs because I know what we write, not always what we do. But tomorrow I have a date with a poet. He's 5'4". And I'm looking forward to it. I'm definitely stepping outside of my comfort zone here.
That's what's up. I would say when you set your intentions to look for the authenticity, to look for the authentic connection, to look for what can go right, as opposed to what has traditionally gone wrong. Then you open yourself up to a whole new realm of possibilities. It's mathematical and it's logical. You know, if you haven't found what you're looking for in the places that you've been looking, then you probably have a better chance of finding it in the places that you have not been looking. So expand your horizons, open yourself up to new possibilities. And whether or not the result is something that you have deemed to be good or bad, at least it's different, and now you've expanded your universe a little bit. That expansion
allows you to overlap so many more people and have more, so many more experiences that could actually lead you to what it is that you ultimately would find to be fulfilling for yourself.
Absolutely. Mm.
All right. Anybody else hop in? Hop in.
I think for me, what happened was I didn't change who I liked. I changed my behavior when I found the person that I actually liked. And so some of the comfort zoning that I was in was more about my behavior and me being distrustful, or me, like you said, looking for things to hold on to not allow it to be great.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing that was uncomfortable, because you can meet a million people, and if you're not right, nobody is going to be right for you. And mm-hmm. so really kind of turning that, really internalizing, not the physical mirror, but the emotional and mental mirror that I should have been looking in all along. And so mm-hmm. it made the experiences that I had a lot different.
Mm.
But it was very uncomfortable. And it's still
wow.
sometimes uncomfortable.
Wow. But is it working?
Every single day.
There you go.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what
there you go. Letting go is just releasing your ego. The ego is a driver. It keeps us set in a certain frame of mind. And once you let that ego go, you don't feel a need to have control all the time. Sometimes it's good to be out of control to let things in and see what else will happen.
So, mm-hmm.
It's a good thing. Don't be afraid to try.
I do want to jam this question in before we move on from this topic, and that is, what do you think it's like being someone's second choice and not the first? And I guess mm-hmm. the premise for this question is that, you know, you meet somebody or you have a crush on somebody, whatever the case may be, and you see them clearly targeting somebody else. And either they get with that person or they try and fail with that person, then they end up with you. Some people would say that makes you that person's second choice, and that's exactly kind of what they're accusing Will Smith and Jada Pinkett of, trying to say basically that every time Jada treats Will the way she does in the public, it's because her first choice was Tupac, and of course Tupac has now passed away. So Will is the second choice, and that means so-called that she would never really respect him. This is kind of the thought around, I would say, the male side of YouTube, is men criticizing other men for accepting being a second choice. Mm-hmm. Kind of the first time I've really ever heard this conversation. So I guess I'm asking you guys, have you ever been someone's second choice? What do you think about being someone's second choice? What do you think about the whole concept?
I think we're all options, actually, especially people that are looking to get into another relationship. We're all somebody else's second choice, without a doubt, because we are not just the only interest at first. They have seen many other, in my case, women, and what they do is put you in a certain category, kind of like you go into a candy shop, you got a variety. You're going to look at a lot of different pieces of candy because you're going to like a different variety. And they kind of like, they're going to try you eventually. I think whether they try you first or whether they try you second or last, it makes a big difference. Almost like saving you for later, you know. But
mm-hmm.
as far as, I think it's how you consider yourself to be, what choice you're considering yourself to be. Because I don't know. In my experience in life, I've seen a lot of things with people making choices about who they want to be with. And there are going to be disastrous relationships that we try our hand at. And you're going to go to somebody else if that doesn't work out. So to consider yourself to be an option, we're all options. And if you want to stick around for that person that chose you later because something went awry in another relationship with them, or they found something unattractive about that particular person, I mean, it's your choice. I don't keep the mindset of being your option. When you choose to come to me, it's up to me whether or not I'm going to continue it with you. That's just my opinion. Mm-hmm.
I think it's devastating. I'm just going to keep it all the way. Baby, listen. I will never forget not being number one. I will never forget not being the only. And it caused havoc for a lot of, I don't want to say I dated a lot of men. I don't want to, you know, put that out there. But it was some niggas who didn't get no peace fucking with me behind being the second choice for somebody else. Because, and that may be where I developed the mentality of, yeah, I'm a show you who I am straight out the gate. Because either you're going to, you know, deal with me and like me for who I am. Because I would rather you dislike me for who I really am than to dislike the person that I initially showed you. You know what I'm saying? Like, if we're going to play that, I'm at the point of, I'm beyond playing the game. And, but I don't think that when you are a second, like my dad used to say this thing about, sometimes you're in competition with somebody, but you really don't know what the fuck you're trying to win.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh, shit.
You know, like, you know, when you go into the side piece role, like, you really the second choice, because he really would like to be at home with his wife, or she would like to be at home with her husband, but they having issues, and so now they gonna deal with you to tie them over until they deal with them type situation. I don't recommend it. It's highly ghetto. I mean, I don't know about Will, and I don't know about Jada, but in real life on this side, dealing with me, it is not what I ever want to deal with, and it's not what I ever want to put another person through. Do not recommend the ghetto.
Man, listen, that's crazy. wow. y'all be saying some shit. Literally, just so everybody knows, it's 10:44. There's 16 minutes left towards the regular broadcast. If you are streaming, this is your time beginning. The number is 319-527-6300. This is all important stuff that you should get into. Matter of fact, let's go to Van Meadows, and then go to Aziz, then Gina, and then Blaze. So, Van Meadows, your opinion.
I don't like being second. I'm just gonna put that out there. I value my worth. I value my worth. And if you feel like you want to try someone else over me, don't ever think that you're going to come back this way again.
Come through.
Because there is someone out there who wants me to be number one, period.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's not you, I can deal with that. Because I'm making a choice to make you number one. And if you feel the same way, okay, great, we can move forward. But if you got to sit here and you think that you might want to choose me, I'm not the one for you. I hate being number two. I done been number two too many times. If I'm not number one, keep it moving.
Wow. All right. Aziz. Oh, wait a second. Did I do that? I said so we go to Aziz. Did we hear from you, Wendell, yet?
No, not on this particular topic.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to go to Aziz, then I'm going to go to Gina, then you. So Aziz, go ahead.
I got a kind of arrogance. I'm not saying whether it's good or bad. I really don't care, but I kind of got a arrogance about my worth. And I gotta be first choice. I'm sorry. There are some things I've been doing, but being second choice as a former athlete, I ain't never liked being second place in nothing. So simply put, nah, I'm not okay with it.
I feel you. All right. Gina.
Yeah, so I agree with everybody so far. I can't be one of many. I have to be the one and only. So if you are making a choice, don't worry about me. I'm removing myself from the running. Because the reality is this, I can't be nothing but your first choice. And if there are any other options for you, explore them. And like Van said, don't come back to me.
Don't come back to me. Then don't do it. All right. So now we're going to go to Wendell.
I got nothing but love and respect for everybody on the panel. But I hear a whole lot of hubris. And, I do not by any stretch of the imagination say that anyone should minimize their own sense of value that they put on themselves. We should all have a high degree of esteem for ourselves. At the same time, I believe that as we go through life and as we experience things, we grow and we evolve as human beings. So the Wendell that I was 10 years ago is light years different than the Wendell that I am right now. And so for me to tell someone 10 years ago that I need to be the one and only is to say that at that particular stage in my life's maturation process, if at that point in time, that iteration of myself is not the totality of what you require and desire in your life, then keep it pushing and don't come back is for me to effectively say that, you are more married to or more fidelitous to the ideal of being number one than it is to the reality of being with someone who is on a journey of life just as you are. And the person that you are today is vastly different than the person that you were 10 years ago. And so to say that you expect me to only look at you as you were at that point in time and say that is what I want for the rest of my life, regardless of what you may go through and evolve into as your life experience happens, it's very confining. And it's a lot of ego there. And I am more of the mindset that I want you to choose me every day. That being with someone, being in a relationship is a relationship is something that you have the responsibility to create. And it has to serve you as opposed to just being something that you get into. And so if we are creating a relationship together, then that means that each and every day when we open up our eyes, we choose to be here. And you choose to be here because of what I am to you and what we have built together is meaningful for you. It is not something that you are obligated to or take for granted just because you made a decision, you know, however many years ago. And it keeps both of us from getting complacent and from feeling like we have already achieved the goal of being with someone. It keeps me from being stagnant. And so, yeah, for that reason, I can't really rock with that particular sentiment. Again, I understand the self-value and the self-esteem portion, but self-esteem and self-value does not automatically equate to value to others. I have to continue to grow and be the best version of myself so that the value that I am providing to my partner is still value that I am continuing to provide to them, as opposed to value that I have provided, past tense. So,
I think that the ego that you hear or the connection that I have to being who I am today is we have to be on the same vibe today in order for us to make it to tomorrow. And so if you are choosing me to be second today, then you're not going to be an option for me tomorrow. So if we come around and we live life and, you know, we're 10 years better and we're both available, then that may be a totally different thing. But if you don't choose me as first today, then I'm okay with that. But what I'm not going to be is runner-up for nothing, because we're not on the same page. It's almost like holding on to a hope that a person will come around to see your value later. And that I wouldn't vote, again, it's highly ghetto, I wouldn't vote for anybody to wait for someone to value them.
Yeah, and I'm not advocating for you to wait for someone to value you. Definitely value yourself. And if you choose someone and they choose you, then that's cool.
Right.
But don't rest on your laurels. Because what I found, and this is me having been married for 11 years, that what you do to get someone isn't always the things that you do to keep someone, but you expect to be kept. And that is not a realistic expectation. So continue to evolve, continue to grow, but you've got to put in the work to continue to show that you are indeed valuable to this other person, not just valuable to yourself. So that's where that ego is coming from that I'm referring to.
Let me throw the white flag. Throw the white flag. Who said so? What I hear is that Aziz. All right, I got to say this real quick. So listen, it's 10:54. If you are streaming, you must get in 319-527-6300. Welcome to 50 Radio Universe. This is War Council. This is a good conversation and talk, choosing everything else. Aziz, go. It's on you.
I haven't said anything yet.
I apologize. What I want to
I got
say,
you, Blaze. I got you, Blaze. I got.
When
Aziz
I hear,
and Blaze.
When I, yeah, my bad, Blaze. But when I hear when I hear second choice, I'm thinking in the aspect of, like, I do agree with the brother with what the brother just said. Yes, as a married man, I agree. You have to continue to evolve, continue to build. You're not going to be the same person that you were so many years ago. I agree there, but when I hear second choice, I'm looking at it as you had an option between him and I, and you chose him, and whatever happened with him went the way it went, and then you chose me. So in that sense, what I'm saying is, at that point, I'm like, I understand what Van and Gina were saying. They don't even come back. Don't even try to choose me again, because you had the option for me. And I haven't just been sitting up here waiting for you to work that out. So when I hear second choice, that's what I hear. You have the option of me, but you chose the other person.
Right. And I can definitely see I can see the points there. At that particular point in time, when a choice is being offered, doesn't necessarily mean that that's the time for that choice to be made. So I can entertain the possibility of, you may come back to me and say, you know what, I made a mistake before, I would like to investigate and explore something with you. But now I get to decide, all right, well, what kind of person are you now as opposed to then that would make you a good fit for me? How have you grown and evolved from what the experiences that you've gone through that would make you a fit for me? As opposed to saying, oh, no, just because you're coming back to me, it's automatically a no. That's ego to me. That's ego to me because I could very well be denying myself the benefit that you could possibly accrue to me simply because I am perceiving the situation where, you know, my feelings were hurt or my ego was such that if you don't choose me first, then don't choose me at all. As opposed to, like I said, as opposed to evaluating who are you in the here and the now, as opposed to who you were back then. And if that person that you are in the here and the now can benefit me and we can benefit each other, then that at least, in my mind, deserves an evaluation on its own merits. Otherwise, no one would be matched and paired up with anyone because no one is always anyone else's first choice. Unless you have married the first person that you interacted with romantically or expressed an interest in, then you are not a first choice. And just because you're not a first choice doesn't mean that you're not the best choice.
Mm-hmm.
So, ego. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that.
All right.
So, in mostly every relationship that I've been in all of my life, every female that I've had, you know, when within the relationship realm of my life, is they always like tall, dark-skinned men. Of course, we all know that I'm not tall or dark-skinned. But I always seem to be the chosen one, and I don't understand that. I mean, and I'm saying that to say, of course, I wasn't the first choice. But it almost seems like I was the best choice, and I don't, maybe I'm wrong in looking at it that way or whatever, but how am I the shortest light-skinned dude over tall, dark-skinned dude always picked over them, or did you pick them first, and because you went, they showed you who they truly were because you chose all of them, and you figured, okay, well, let me turn the tables around. Let me see if dating this guy is going to be different from dating them. And from what I was told, they like being in a relationship with me more than being in a relationship with those guys, but they were always their first choice. And so I'm saying that to say that, you know, I don't know if I was, I don't believe I was ever first choice. I was always second and more. But even being second and more, it turned out that I was the best choice almost every time.
But so, I mean, but how would that, so my question is to this, right? How would that affect you if you knew that you wasn't, but you ended up winning in the end? Why would it, like to me, it's like, why would that matter?
Why would what matter?
Like, you know, someone chose someone else over you, and then they found out that you were the better man for the job. You know, it's just a matter of when. If you found out that you were the better man and you enjoyed a better relationship, I mean, would you really worry about who they chose first?
No, I wasn't. That's what I'm saying. I wasn't worried about who they chose first. It was just that, you know, we're talking about this subject, and if I'm the best man, even I'm the better man, even though I'm second on down, then does that make me, that doesn't make me the first choice, but it makes me the best choice. And so
well, that's what I'm saying. Like,
Yeah, that's the point.
I'm cool
with the
factory,
is what I was saying. The gentleman before me was stating that, you know, your first choice isn't always your best choice, or the, you know, the best choice for you at the moment or whatever. But, you know, everybody else is talking about they would rather be first. If your first is your worst choice, then why would you want to be first if that's not the person you really want to be with or that really wants to be with you?
Well, I think it's subjective. I mean, honestly, because regardless of the fact of how someone decides to pick or choose someone in any moment, you know, some people, you discover how good they are for you in the long run. You discover everything about them because you realize that you might not have been like, okay, this is absolutely it, because it takes time. You always got to spend the time trying to figure out how to get to know someone, know who they are, know everything about them. But in the long term, in the long run, you discover like the connection between you and that person to the point where it wouldn't even matter who they thought was the person or who you thought was the person. What matters is the connection. You know, I've been writing the different things because everybody's been resounding around the themes of energy, connection, effort, you know, the way that people come to each other and build things. All of these things have actually been pretty spot on with everything else is talking about. That's why I was like, you know, even if someone's not the first choice, you know what I'm saying? Like, can Jada really say, like, just using Jada as an example, could Jada really say that she could have built an empire with Tupac? Could she really say that with August Alsina, which basically was Dick? August Alsina was Dick. He was Dick. Like, and that's what he was to her. You know, and she actually turned him out. Like, she really, like, he believed that there was more to the relationship than she was willing to say, you know. And she's just been messy boots about the entire fucking thing, about everything, by just saying everything else. And I don't know if she's doing it for attention or this is just naturally who she is. But, you know, she could say, oh, August probably fucked the shit up. Who knows? It's after hours, so I'm talking loose. Who knows? But at the same time, her empire, who she has, her children, the beauty of the things that she gets to enjoy is because Will was the best partner that she had, period.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't really matter at the time. Like she's doing Will a disservice the way that she's acting now, like, in my opinion. You know, she's like, oh, I don't really like this about Will. You know, and some people are like, well, you know, you tell the truth, everything else. I said, there's certain things you can do for attention. There's other things you can do if not. But you don't see Will out here damning his wife every chance he gets. He's,
right,
he's out here really,
right.
He's really out here like that's my wife. You know, win, lose, or draw, that's my wife. You know, no matter what happens, that's my wife. And the one thing that I don't think that we really look at is we don't look at how sometimes women are like in this particular day and age, there are women who are equally as messy as men and actually hunt, men, hunt, do certain things, you know, so you actually get to see it. You get to see them out there, like, you know, and they're doing it from all levels. Like, the funny thing, I don't know, was I talking to Danielle? I was talking about how these older white women in their late 50s and 60s have discovered, you know, probably always knew because there was always like Buck Farms and shit like that when we're talking about history, but we're not going to get into that. But they've discovered young black teen, and they get it. They pursue it. They go out and get it. And they have whole referral systems to get different things that are happening. And they say, hey, listen, you know, I was married to this man. He never, you know, he was patriarchal. He was white. He didn't do all this other stuff. But you're going to turn me out. You're going to do these different things to me and make me feel some kind of way, and I'll pay you for it.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't got to have a relationship. Now, personally, I know somebody now who literally, he sees three women, and they pay for his life and his lifestyle. Mm-hmm. You would know it, but he does, but they do. Mm-hmm. And you know, and everybody thinks he's got money. No, he's got dick.
That's what he's got.
Yeah. and the thing is, like, and he's like evil too, because oh yeah, I'd be like telling him business. But anytime he sees me, he has to tell me how evil things are. He's like, man, keep yourself in shape. Keep yourself in shape. He's like, be driving this like me. I was like, yo. I was like, he's like, yeah, such and such, sign for my car. This is that, blah, blah, blah. You know, but this is what happens. People pick things for their relationships and what they decide to do and how they don't decide to do. So, you know, sometimes you discover that the person, the best person for you is the person that you might not have likely have thought. But that person sits so close to your heart and who you are and what you're doing. You know, so it doesn't matter who the fuck got chosen first, as long as you're first.
That,
and everything that they do from that point forward. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
As long as you're the person.
Most times in marriages, the person that you've chosen that is allowed to be chosen or has chosen you is not your person, not the person you thought you were going to have to be with.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it in so many marriages, he or she was not the person that I ever thought I was going to be with. And they came out their mouth and said, and so
anybody who's always heard me, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, brother. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
That wasn't always the first person. So of course you're the second person, but you're the best person.
Yeah. Well, I'm living proof of that. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely, me and my wife, we talk about that all the time. And I think Van, Regina, some of y'all, Mo Hobby, I think y'all heard us even talk about that. Like, we wasn't each other's, like, we're not each other's, even each other's type. You know what I mean? Not even close to each other's type or whatever. Now, we did happen to just have a 10-year friendship before we even got, you know, started dating. But my point is, like, it's just to go with what you were saying. People who look at my wife and fear, you know, my wife, she's light skinned, she's Filipino and black, so she's light skinned. I'm always been known to my family as the dude who like dark skinned women. I'm talking about like dark matte, like strut match dark skin, like tire dark skin. You know what I mean? Like that's always been my first attraction. My wife is yellow, you know, like yellow, you know, like yellow complexion. She's light as hell, and the same with me. I'm not her type whatsoever. I'm not the type of dude that she normally dates either. You know what I'm saying? And like none of our exes look like each other. So just to lend credit to what you were saying about how people end up marrying people who are not their type, we all the way not each other's type. I mean, normal type. We're each other's type now, but who we thought we would end up with, the type of woman that people expected me to end up with, a man for her to end up with, we are totally opposite from that, completely.
Yeah, if I could throw this out there, I don't know if any of y'all have actually seen it, but there's a show on Netflix called Sex Life, and I think that it, to a very high degree, tackles this very conversation that we're having now about, you know, growth, evolution, and making choices and being happy with the choices that you've made or potentially second-guessing those choices. In light of, you know, some retrospect. So I think that if more people would be intellectually and emotionally honest with themselves, then they could actually grapple with and wrestle with this duality, you know, this the conundrum of first choice as opposed to best choice. And you know,
right.
If I wasn't number one, then, you know, don't come back to me and all of that stuff. Because what that effectively can end up doing is derailing you. Because that person who may be coming back to you may be coming back to you in a state and at the point of maturation where they are now a perfect complement for who you are and where you are and where you're going in life, but they were not that person when they first had the opportunity to choose you. Like I said, let's. I think that yes, feelings and ego, they are real. But sometimes we can shoot ourselves in the foot, you know, by putting that as the main, the determining factor. So.
I don't know. Maybe I'm seeing the topic differently than the rest because I'm dealing with a situation similar. But in my situation, it was someone that I was dating. It was a casual thing, but we really liked hanging out with each other. We really enjoyed each other. Our personalities were similar. We enjoyed a lot of the same things. We hung out together, you know, not even really dates, more even like just hanging out because we liked each other's company. But he was dating someone else as well, and so it wasn't serious. So we were both kind of dating other people. But he chose this other chick that was the China doll, you know, the painted chick that was always, you know, fancy looking and whatever. So he chose her and pretty much told me that he couldn't spend time with me anymore because he was choosing her. And in the last week or so, suddenly now he realizes that she costs more than he can afford, and now he wants to try and hit me back up again. And I'm like, nigga. Made that choice.
When I hear second choice, that's exactly what I'm thinking. When I hear second choice,
exactly,
you know, that's exactly what I'm thinking. And you know, and with me, it's a little bit more than ego as well, right? It's because, like, let me play devil's advocate here. What if she's not in that mindset? What if she hasn't matured? Second choice doesn't mean not a choice. It's just, you know what I'm saying, a person could be grappling with what they want, right, and decided to go with choice A, right, not meaning that choice B is not a good choice, right? So let's say she don't come back in that mindset. And also, another thing that I would say versus ego is what I want to give off to her. I don't want to give her off the energy that, hey, okay, I was dating him and another guy. I left him hanging, decided to come back to him. Then that gives me the mindset. I'm not saying this is always true, but I'm saying just like you said, maybe their mindset has changed. Maybe you're giving them the message of saying, hey, I got this. I got over on this guy by making him second in this situation. So what else can I get over on this guy? So
exactly.
You know, what I'm saying? It's not a perfect world. You know what I mean? In a perfect world, yes, people mature, people grow and all of that. And I get that. And I'm willing to look out for those things. But playing devil's advocate, just what if she has it?
And to answer that question, if she hasn't, then that is something that you're able to discern and make a conscious decision for yourself, as opposed to the snap default, which the snap default was like, if I wasn't your first choice, don't come back around here. That is a purely ego-driven statement. That requires no evaluation of who a person is to determine if they've grown, developed, or can be a benefit to you in the here and now. And so what you just described to me is you actually, you know, if they haven't grown, then you are able to discern that. You're able to determine that and then make a conscious decision as opposed to a knee-jerk reaction. That's where my only qualm comes in.
He honestly chose her because she was the girl he wasn't supposed to be able to get. That was his choice. And basically told me, you're a good girl. You're probably the best match for me, but I want to try this. And he went and did it. And now she's broke his pocket. Now he want to come back. No.
And thereby, you get to say, you know what? I don't think that you're going to be a good fit for my life. Because the decision process that you went, the decision-making process that you went through, caused you to make a decision that that did not value me and what I, you know, what we had together, and you know, for whatever other justifiable reasons that you would have to say, no, I do not want to entertain you as a partner in the here and now. So yeah, I know that there's the aspect of it of, you hurt my feelings. We were good together, and you chose someone because she, you know, fit a physical archetype, and now you are, you know, now you bit off more than you can chew. And like the old folks said, did you get what you wanted when you got what you got? And now you realize you don't want what you got, and you're trying to come back over here to see if you can get what you could have had. And now I'm telling you, no, you can't have it. That is only a variable in the equation.
I mean, well, definitely. The thing
my
is,
my brother, you are much more articulate than I felt like being. I was like, nah, nigga, hang up. Just forget my number.
It reminds me of the thing with Danny. I forgot the Western with Danny Glover, and he's like, I don't want to shoot you, and you don't want to be dead. Trying to figure all the stuff that's happening, but literally, sometimes you know, like people, they don't really be evaluating. Like, you lose out on shit when you, like, you know, like, for me, I have a fundamental disbelief, so I have to fight through my disbelief for a lot of things because of the type of stuff that I've been through with my ex-wife or everything else like that. It makes it harder for me to be vulnerable. And then as I become vulnerable, like, you know, like, it's a different thing. And so a lot of times when people are going out and they're doing certain things, like, there's been times where, like I had to sit through, and I mean literally sit through, you know, my ex-wife dating a 90-year-old gangbanger, and her running around with gang colors on, doing gang signs. I didn't endure that shit, right? But at the same time, while I was thinking about it, you know, at the end of the day, like, you know, she's like, I don't even know who that person was. I was like, yeah, that's because that's what drugs do. Anyway, but let me stop doing that. That was good. Forgive me, Lord. That was a bad quip. Anyway, but you discover, like, you know, I'm just saying, like, you'll discover, like, some people, they just don't know what's good for them. They just run away for good shit because they, like, I know for myself, and I always speak for myself. I can't speak for anybody else. Like, to be treated well was almost foreign to me. Like, it was foreign. It was, like, hard. Because I was always waiting for the other shoe to drop. I was always waiting for some bullshit to happen. Like, yo, this is going to be some bullshit that comes out of this. You know, this ain't real. This can't be this. You know, just a disbelief. You know, like, literally, you know, like, gift. And, like, the gift was so much about me that I cried. Like, I really cried. Like, and that person is always, like, looking out for me. Like, always, like, listen, you know, how are you? You know, because people don't do that. Like, and in my life, you know, not my former life, nobody ever looked up. Nobody ever said, are you okay? Are you all right? Nobody checked on their strong friend. Everybody could throw the world on my shoulders, and I'd walk around like Atlas. But emotionally, I wasn't okay, you know. And so, when a person really was like, "Yo," like, they're like, "Yo, I'm really like, what's going on with you?" What's, you know, like, I had to get used to that level of someone actually putting in effort to care for me, mm-hmm. and care about me. And care, you know, what happens to me, you know, because, you know, I'll run around and, like, I still do. I could probably kill over and die. Like, I never like to hear bad news from like a doctor. Like, it's just the worst thing that I could possibly go through, because some of the stuff I've been through growing up, some of the surgeries that I had, things of that sort, it just wasn't working out for me. Like, I'd just be like, nah. I'm like, I'll just be dead. You just gonna find me someplace, you know. But when you have someone who loves you or cares for you like that, it doesn't matter what they thought beforehand or what you thought. It only matters what happens in the now. The now is the most important thing, you know, and cultivating that and growing it. It's one of those most important things. That's, you know, especially when people talk about things like you're dating with intention. I'm like, nah, you know, I hear that shit on Clubhouse all the time. Yeah, I'm a such and such and I'm dating with intention. I say, nah, you can't tell somebody you date with intention. You say you hope that they'll be intentional with you. You know, you hope, you know, like, we go to these big rooms and, you know, we go in there and drip and stuff like that and do all the stuff that the honey drippers do, of course, you know. But, you know, some of the people in the room would talk about what they're looking for. And I was like, you don't even know what you're looking for until you actually come across it. So even if you're waving your flag, it's just not going to be there. But anyway. Let me stop. I just got long-winded, crazy. Oh shit! It's a school night too. All right, so here's what we're gonna do. All right, because it's a school night, I gotta go. I have a very big 8-year-old who's probably in there cutting up, and I probably, you know, and I made something, so I'm pretty sure I didn't eat. So if it's actually just still there, I'd be impressed. I'd be impressed. I'd actually be really impressed. I would. Because he eats my food. Like, he really does. Like, it's not even funny. Like, it's almost crazy. And I'm like, yo. I was like, so what made you decide to eat that? Well, you left it out. I'm like, really? Anyway.
That's the logic. It was there.
Yeah,
I ate
it. But this has been a fantastic topic, actually. It's been really, really dope. I really, really enjoyed mm-hmm. it. Thank you for everybody that's coming out. I know that we're not finished, and I know like certain people have to drop because it was 11. I probably should have started earlier. But we really had a good time talking about the topic and unusual. I'm glad for everybody who came through and participated for this evening. I guess we're going to have to part two this up because we didn't get to the whole rules of engagement thing, which was the main topic. So I guess we'll just have to focus on that for the next time and talk about, you know, what are our deal breakers, what are the things that you like, what are the things that you don't like. And even though we covered some of that territory here, we didn't actually get into the whole topic. So we'll probably have a part two to that and probably add something additional to that because we didn't get into Wendell, what's your thing, dating, ego and dating? And things of that sort,
yeah,
which we kind of covered that here too.
Yeah, we kind of hit on it, but we can go deeper with that.
Yeah, we can definitely get Jacques Cousteau out here. You know, I said Jacques Cousteau, and nobody knew what I was talking about. I said, "Damn, I'm old."
I know what
you're
talking about.
I know
what
you are not alone.
I'm old too.
I was like, yeah, I'm about to get Jacques Cousteau. They was like, who the hell is Jacques Cousteau?
Yeah, we telling on ourselves.
Yes, we are.
Hold on. I'm gonna give it 5 more minutes real quick. But all right, so let's do this. What are your deal breakers in dating? And just anybody just hopping just as much as you can, like this is a train of thought. What are your deal breakers?
Cigarette smoke.
Oh God, yes. But
yeah.
Not being able to have a conversation. It's like acting like I'm speaking a foreign language and I have to basically explain everything all the time.
Being able to have conversations.
Entitlement.
Mm-hmm. Oh God, yes. That's a whole topic in itself.
Right.
There's this thing on Reddit called entitled people, and so I'm so addicted to reading that shit and listening to it. And you know, and the funny thing is, like, you don't think you'd be knowing entitled people, but there's a whole bunch of entitled ass. Like, yo,
I know some entitled. And they think the world revolves around. I know entitled
motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I can't.
So
cannot.
Imagine somebody showed up there. I heard a story today, right? And it's all based on true stories. And a woman, the woman was like, "Yeah, we don't want you to come on it. Come where we're at and we're eating." And you know, mm-hmm. and the woman told them the name of the restaurant, right? And so the name of the restaurant, so the woman brought her husband and her 5 kids, and they ate these 7-course meals, which were like at a really fancy French restaurant, which was $1,000 a piece. And she planned on like breaking out and leaving it to the rich people that she knew. And they weren't even in the same, like, they were like 4 hours away at a different restaurant of the same name. And she's like, "You know I can't afford this." And she's like, "We told you not to come." You know, you always got that, you know, especially, yeah, it's crazy. I'll send you the link on YouTube. It's crazy. But you get people who feel entitled, even when they're dating. Like, I remember a long time ago, like, so there's a person, and I can't really say their name because they're in the vicinity, you know. They're not around, but they're in the vicinity. They show up for stuff, you know. And they're not in any of my groups. Actually, they're in one of my groups. Actually, two. But they show up. But literally, right? They was like, "Oh, I'd like to," you know. They was like, yo, I'd like to have a drink with you. Like, you know, so at the time, I was running my lodge's bar. So I was like, that's not a thing to me. I was like, you know, because they were very, I didn't have the proper sense of what I was supposed to be doing, because I was looking at them physically. I wasn't examining them mentally for what they did. So literally when they came, I was busy. Like, I was running around getting ice, you know, setting up orders, doing certain things, getting what the bartenders needed and everything else. You know, I'm working. And so I was like, okay, well, what do you want to drink? So, you know, so I took a 20 out and I put it on the bar. Like, hey, whatever you want to do, hey, you could take it from here. Why did this person decide that everything they drank on that night, including the people that they knew, was going on my tab? And so she ran a tab. And the drinks were cheap. The drinks were cheap. They weren't even expensive drinks. Like, you know, but they kept getting top shelf. So if you got, like, in those days, you got a top shelf drink, it was like $7 to $10, you know. So that's what I'm saying, like, back, it's a long time ago. So literally, they ordered over $100 worth of drinks, because they was just treating people and doing all kinds of stuff. And then when I was like, did you run a tab in my name? And they were like, yeah, because you said you were going to have a drink with me and blah, blah, blah. Since you had me waiting, since you made me wait, I decided to entertain myself and some of my friends.
Wow.
Please tell me that you kicked in the back of the throat.
I don't hit women, brother. I don't hit women, brother. But it told me.
I'm sorry, that's not entitlement. That's abuse.
Yeah, but it was nutty, man, because
that's bad faith, yo, bad karma. Man.
But it was nutty because, like, when I talked, right, and it was an elaborate lie that she told the bartender. I knew the bartender extremely well, and so the bartender knew that I put the money on the thing for the drink, and then like, I came over and talked to her because I was actually going to, you know, they was making wings in the kitchen. I was like, yo, do you want some wings? And so she said that when I came over to talk to her and I asked her about the wings, she told the bartender that I told her that she could order what she wanted and I'd pay for it. And so the bartender was like, well, if that's what he told you, then I guess, you know. And so literally, she went over $100 in drinks, and she was giving to her friends, and these people, and, you know, and the funny thing is, one of the friends was mad rude, because I didn't agree to this. This is not what I was thinking about a drink. This is not a drink. This is a lot of drinks. And she's like, well, a woman like me should always be taken care of.
Entitlement right there.
Yeah. I was like, yeah.
Look, I wish I knew you then, because I fight. Try Jesus, not me.
I ain't for the scene, but to this day, right, and the person was like, yo, I noticed that you don't include me in any of your projects. I was like, oh, no, we just do different things. We don't do this or anything else. Like, anything else. It's crazy. And 9 times out of 10, if I'm ever in a place where there's drinks to be bought and she starts walking towards me, I just walk off in a different direction. I pimp off real quick.
Yeah, relationship.
I don't even bother.
That was not loyalty. That was money.
No, but it was a lesson I taught myself, because I was looking at her for her physicality and not her mind, you know. That wasn't the cool thing to do, but that was super entitled to everything else. And I was like, so dating entitlements is crazy, because, you know, some people are old fashioned, like, you know, like, I think that people should, like, you know, Dawood is like my best friend. He's super, like, he's a super gentleman. He's like, yeah, I'm old fashioned, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm old fashioned, but he can tell you some people.
But I ain't no sucker either, though.
Yeah, no, he's not a sucker. He's never a sucker. That dude, nah.
no.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
No,
he's
not that guy.
Don't take my kindness for weakness.
Nah, he's not that guy. Don't get him confused. He's not that guy. But there are people who they like, even if he's taking them out, like, I mean, a while ago he took someone out and they just couldn't believe that he paid for everything. Like, they was like, oh my God. You know? And my thing is, like, if you like each other, you just take care of each other. It doesn't matter what it is or anything else like that. Sometimes it can be right. Good things or not. Like, you know, you could just work with each other and not sit there and try to figure out traditional roles. But some people get entitled and feel like you're supposed to be doing certain things, or I'm cute, you're supposed to buy me a drink or something like that. You're cute, you're supposed to. Mm-hmm. Nah, V, that's not how this works. That's not how none of this works.
That's a mentality that I see reflected so much in the culture today, and it really makes me cringe.
Mm-hmm. It gets a little crazy, but men and women do it. Men and women do it. They get crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, they get anything else, man. Listen, I swear. if you scratch my beard, I'm a happy guy. I'm a happy guy. I'm a happy dude. Listen, it's not a thing. That's you feed me good food. Listen, you feed me good food. You scratch my beard. You know, you rub my back. I don't know. I keep telling people. I say I'm about some pancakes in the back row from getting married again. I don't know. It can happen.
A little bit more than that, bro.
I'm simple. I'm simple.
Please require more.
I'm simple.
I'm begging you, brother. Raise the bar.
Just checkers.
Know your worth, bro. Know your worth.
No, I know my worth.
That's right.
I used to say, kind of pancake.
Come on, King.
Yeah, I'm just saying. My pancakes have to be gold plated.
Bro, I'm gonna have to go with some of those Steve Harvey quotes, man. You got to raise that fence. It's too easy for people to step in your lawn.
No. No, I'm sorry. I know crazy when I see it. You got to have a certain type of something. You got to have the rhythm. You got to have everything. Everything's got to fit. You got to be like I got to be able to talk to you. Like, I really have to be able to talk to you, and I have to be able, like, you know, like, I have to feel like everything is right with the world when I'm standing in your presence and I'm not doing nothing. So, no, you can't just be any person with some pancakes and walk up and be like, I got some pancakes in the back room. I'm like, you crazy. Like, if anybody shows up, in the next 24 to 48 hours because they heard
that's
the damn show, I'm going to think that they crazy. I'm like, oh, y'all crazy as fuck. No. I'm like, listen,
that's it, bro.
I don't be playing. Like, some people, I be in the honey drip with certain people, they do poetry. I'll be like, I got on some tracksuits. Don't even come near me. The one. I ain't the one. Not him. He is I, but I ain't him. I got to go. You ain't catching a kid. That's why it's so funny.
Yeah. Those are some of those deal breakers right there, man. That entitlement, that not being being self-centered, self-absorbed, you know, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
the average
superficial,
about as deep as
a tide pool.
Okay.
You ever have a conversation with somebody and you just realize that their intelligence is not where it needs to be, and you'd be like,
sure.
Oh, you
like,
hang up the phone, feeling retarded.
Yeah.
Nah, that's a bad word. Don't use that word. Do not use that word. That is not
okay,
the word.
Okay, so I'm slow.
Use.
Now I'm licking the window wearing a helmet on the short bus.
Listen. You know what, Gina,
wow.
Mute your mic, Gina. Mute your mic. Mute your mic.
I know better.
No.
Oh man,
just no. No, it's a short bus licking the window. No, Gina, and I hope you haven't been dating people like that. You better
my
not.
Bad.
Better not be dating.
My handler is asleep.
You know what, Gina? You know what, Gina? I'm just, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, bro. But I hear some people, you try to hand them a machete to attach their intellectual thicket and realize that the machete is dull.
That's very frustrating. It's super, super frustrating when you meet someone like that and that side of them comes out. I'll be like, my brain. I can't. Then I come up with stuff like, oh, my stomach hurts. I need to go. I think I got to go to the bathroom. I can't. As patient as I am, I need to know that you can keep up with me, okay? I can't.
Darling, I'm sorry. As beautiful as you are, I feel myself getting dumber as the time goes by.
Yes, sir.
That is so cold.
Nah, listen. I remember way back in the day. Back in my bar days. I remember young lady, she seemed she looked so good, and then she opened her mouth and just ruined everything. And she was like a dude. She's like, "Yeah, my nigga, blah blah blah." I was like, Oh no,
don't do it to me. 'Tis better to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt.
Right.
No, but it was crazy. She was like a dude in a pretty dress. It was bad. And the funny thing was, like, I was like, all right, so I backed up off her, and then later on, like 2 months later, like, I was like around her, and then she literally passed gas next to me, and it stuck worse than what anything that I could produce. And I was just like, all right, I'm off this. I was just like, I'm off this completely.
No chill.
That's a shame.
Well, I'm just saying, cause back in the day, you know, when you see a really large gluteus maximus, we used to call it, your doodle maker. We used to say it's your doodle maker.
Now I'm dead.
My husband tell you quick, it ain't nothing but a bigger fart box. That's it.
Yeah. Yo, and so we used to be like, yo, it's like, yo, how you know she let something go?
Uh-huh. Okay, come on.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I had to get
the visual, please. No.
My bad.
Okay, let's just stay at the natural bodily function, okay, and leave it at that. Oh, my God.
I'm just saying, but if you really like somebody and you want to be, you should pass gas as early as you can in a relationship, so they understand why they get it.
Look,
gotta get rid of all the pretense.
That's one way to do it. That's for sure.
I guess.
Nah.
She was a lady.
Oh, man. I'm just saying. I'm just being funny, but literally not. Nah, but
mm-hmm.
all that, but that's there's nothing. But you know, that's a you know if you give me a Dutch oven, and I ain't ask you for it, it's over.
Oh, mercy! Oh,
done.
My God!
Done. Done.
Over. You Dutch oven me, it's over.
Oh, my God.
However, you know. But if you do have some good pancakes, you got it.
yourself up. You're just setting yourself up. Boy.
No.
I'm just saying.
Bro. I don't know.
It's got
to
come.
It's
good.
Check that recipe. If those pancakes,
saying,
like, that Dutch oven, bro.
Jesus Christ. Y'all be careful.
I'm just saying. I'm telling you, man. It could be that, you know, pancakes back up. You got to be able to eat seafood. You got to eat seafood. You got to be able to sit with me. You got to have.
That's more for you, bro. You got to read between the lines. If she don't eat seafood, that's a great time because that's more for me.
It's a great. Listen, Van, I see your inner fat boy is speaking, and my inner fat
yes,
boy
sir.
Tells you
yes,
okay,
sir.
That is a good strategy, and that's. But no, I need her to eat crabs. I need to have a foodie yeah. adventure. I need to have crabs and all that good stuff.
Nope.
I need that. It's like it's important.
Nope. I was sitting eat crabs
yeah.
by myself.
I can do both.
Don't play with it.
I will have some crab legs all by myself.
You ain't got to touch no crab.
Listen,
okay.
When you eat it with other people, it is a fight to find the biggest crabs in the bushel. Bro,
okay.
no.
I'm fine, bro.
And if you happen to have two orders, don't let her be the type of one that thinks that she can go rummaging around in your order to pick out your big crab legs. Eating off of your plate. No, that's a deal breaker.
Your side of the table, and I'll tell you what I'm trying to tell you.
You
don't touch mine.
You reach your fork over onto my plate, and I promise you I'm going to stab it.
I'm telling you, someone I love would break the crab down for me, straight up.
See, I was
straight
about to
up.
Say,
make,
see,
make
I'm
the
from
crab
Maryland.
Down
we made our list.
For me.
Right. Don't even touch my drawn butter. We going to fight.
Nah, listen. You can do that for the kid, listen, you cooking with gas. You on your way. You ain't got no way.
Like I said, I grew up in Maryland.
Bro.
I got a spot for you, too. That's on the Delaware, Maryland line.
Everybody
wait,
got
happened?
A preference. Don't touch my crab legs. That's it.
Don't touch my crab legs.
I ain't playing with you. I'm not playing.
Don't even look in the direction of my side of the table. Because if you try to pull
feed
that
you.
Shit, nah, dude, you feed me off of your plate. Don't touch mine.
That's right. I'll feed you, but don't put
here.
Your hand over here because I might bite you. I ain't playing. Okay. Man, I'm trying to tell you.
Man, because nothing is worse than when you order your food and you give her the opportunity to order the same thing and she chooses to order something different and then she's looking at your food like, dang, you always make the best choices. Your food look good and you had an opportunity.
That's right. I appreciate the compliment, and I'm going to enjoy every bite of my food. Going to be happy with what you ordered.
That's right.
Exactly. I'm not even going to be looking at your plate. I'm trying to tell you now. Don't even look at mine.
I got,
don't even breathe in my direction.
I got two rules for the planet. Now, if I'm connected and I love you, you can eat off my plate. That's I got to love you. You can eat off. You can touch my food. Right, as long as it's an equal amount of food between us. Like if we're sharing blue crab, it's all good. Like as long as we're eating together, you know, saying
brother,
and stuff like
the
that.
The ability
but,
to logically divide the food and equal portions, all that goes out the window, man. Because it's what's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine. You know it ain't gonna be no
equal
thing,
right,
bro.
Mahavi's pointing out a principle that we started the show with. That's why it's the 2 for $20 deal, bro. I get it. I got it.
I couldn't even do the 2 for $20. I'm too greedy, bro. I gotta. I'm like. I'll have two 2 for $20s, and they're both for me. What are you having?
right.
My food, plain and simple.
Right.
Don't touch my damn food.
Listen, there are a few things that I will cut you or fight you over. Number one, flats. If I have flats, right, either we going to have all the flats, you know, because somebody, or you got to be a drum person because you can't eat my flats. If I got lemon pepper wings and I got flats, you eat my joints, we fight. Thighs. I love thighs. Love them to death, you know, in real life and on my plate. But I'm telling you right now, if I go, so my thing is this, like if I go and I get chicken, right, 9 times out of 10, what I do when I go to any chicken spot, I always order thighs because I need that. I need to have two. My perfect plate of chicken is 2 thighs, 2 wings. That's my shit. I will have 2 thighs, 2 wings. It works out for me. I'm good. I'm satiated. I'm good. Now, if there's only 2 or 3 thighs in there and you take 3 thighs, you got to go. You got to get the fuck out. You got to go. We can share evenly. Don't eat my thighs. Leave my thighs alone. And you can have the drumstick off that because I'm just going to break the drum off of it and put it off to the side and eat it as a flat. That's what I do. Anybody else who wants to contest that, we gonna fight. Oh, and if you cut my steak and you get the juicy part, the part that has the little grizzle on the side, it's real juicy, and you eat that to yourself before I can get it, we fighting. I will fight you.
Nah, bro. You just
it's
said
not, it's
you,
not even a question.
You got the love for the each
other. Yeah, right.
I'm just giving you these rules. No, listen, this is important rules. I can share, but if you eat it, like you just take it, eat it, right? My son, I'll always be halfway about to kill this kid all the time because he does that all the time. He will go, and he don't even know how to cut the steak. He just be chopping it like, ah. And I'll be like, do you want to die today? Do you like your life? Do you like breathing? Is it something that you did you wake up and decide that you didn't want to breathe no more, right? Because that's what he does. Like he doesn't like thighs, so I'm good with that. Like, so I'm good. I don't have to worry about him with that. But with the this kid will butcher a steak. In a minute, he'll take the juicy parts, and he'll be like, "Well, I was hungry."
Leave that baby alone and him eat.
That's the problem now. The boy's in it.
Train him up right.
Listen. He's in the 98th percentile for height. And he's off the chart. He's off the chart for growth. Do you not think he would be okay if he missed something? He'll be all right. And then he's the first one. He don't ask nothing. He come in. He just drinks stuff. He don't talk to nobody. Like, if I put a wild cherry Pepsi, right, which is my vice. That's my one. Like I don't even drink like that, but wild cherry Pepsi will get me. If I put it in the freezer, right, I put it in the freezer because I like it cold and slushy. I like to pour it into my cup, and it's nice and slushy. And I save my, you know, like I'm ridiculous because I have all these little rules from a plant. I still use this cup. It's a tall Venti cup. From Starbucks, right? With the top on it, you drink it for the coffee, but you use it for cold drinks. If I pour it in there, I want to see the ice in the joint. If I see your little rusty butt turning my joint to the sky, oh, you got to die. You got to die.
Poor baby.
Questions.
He still puts stuff in there that he doesn't like, and I don't know. Kids,
no, poor baby.
When you got kids, yeah, privacy and things belonging to you just out the window, honey. I'm sorry. Yours tastes better. It smells better. Your money spends better. And that stuff don't belong to you no more. So you can talk all that shit you want, but you ain't.
But listen, I would just like to use the bathroom. No, I would just like to use the toilet by myself for one good time. Just one time.
Yeah.
And not be asking questions. If I close the door, the door's closed for a reason.
That's
you ain't
cute.
Got to come in and tell me I stink. You ain't got to come in and ask me for stuff. Can I use your phone? No. I can't use my phone. I'm on my phone. No, you can't use my phone. I am on my phone. And it's crazy because that's his place of zen, too. That's my zen. That's his zen. I'm like, yo, where's this kid at? And he's sitting on the toilet with the laptop playing
while taking a dump. I'm like, who does this? He's like,
my son.
I was like, you're right.
My son.
I was like, you're right.
My son did the same thing. But he can't put it down for like 5 minutes to use the bathroom.
I'm like, can you get it out? No, but right now, I'm having a sock war right now because all my socks, right?
Oh,
I went and I bought a bunch of socks. Danielle's like, here you go with the complaint. I bought a bunch of socks. Bunch of them.
Mm-mm.
I got, you know, my socks are categorized. I got my Nike socks, got my Jordan socks, right? You can't wear those. I don't care. There's nothing you can tell me anything else. I keep them separate. My polo socks. Keep them separate. Don't touch them. Don't bother them. Everything polo, you don't touch. I don't care what it is. Even if you think it's a good pattern, if I catch you with them, I'm going to pull them off your feet, and I'm going to make you walk on your toes. Leave me alone. Don't touch them. But my other socks, my footy socks, my other socks, this kid just wear them. Like, he don't even ask. I had a pack. He just started taking them out the pack. I was like, yo, these aren't yours. He's like, well, these other socks, they're too small for my feet now. And the fucking thing I hate is that he's goddamn right. Like, damn it. Your feet is too fucking big for no reason. You know?
I stopped buying socks when my daughter was living here. I stopped buying socks because my stock would plummet with her living here. 5 years ago is when I started buying socks again because that's when she moved out and got her own foot. It was horrible. And I love my socks to match, too. I have my different selection, different levels, whatever you want to call it. But it didn't matter. It didn't matter.
That's what I'm saying. Anyway, we had a good conversation. I will fill you this out with part two. More than likely, and see what happens, what's going on. We'll probably revisit this. I don't know. I guess Thanksgiving week. Thanksgiving week will be good. I think that'll happen. I don't know if everybody's not busy trying to get their turkey on and stuff like that. We'll try to figure this out. But let me thank everybody for coming out. Thank you to Mr. Wendell, La Perla Negra, Van Meadows, aka Poetic, Lisa Lips, Blaze, Gina Storm. Thank you to Dawood. Thank you to Joan, Quinita, and thank you for everybody else. Thank you for the people who do it in the back channel. Thank you for everybody who hung out. And rock with us. We appreciate you. We have much love for you, and we love you. Thank you for coming out to Epiphany Radio Universe War Council. We will cover Rules of Engagement. Oh, and thank you, Aziz, for coming through. And we're going to rock out with our socks out. We're going to check out next time. And don't forget, hey, Van Meadows, can you tell us what's happening in the rest of the week on Epiphany Radio Universe?
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, join us tomorrow night for the Love Zone with your host, Ms. VIP, El Perro La Negra. Thursday nights to get down with J. Rob, the wise son, and yours truly, Poetic. Friday nights, express your vibe with Ms. VIP. Saturday night show is Poetic Therapy with La Perro La Negra and Stan the Man Phillips. Sunday night is the Inspiration Factory with your host, Paul Sampson, a.k.a. Divine Inspiration, and yours truly, Poetic. Monday night is Raw with Rain with your host, Rain, and essentially Janice. And I'll be right back here next Tuesday for Fly Speak, the hidden, not War Council, Honey Dripper. You know what? My hobby just got so many shows. We'll just let him tell you which one it's going to be.
I believe it's Honey Drippers for that. It's the third week, so usually it's Honey Drippers. So, and we're probably running back, I don't know. I think if it's the third week, because I know that after this week. So it's probably going to be The Drip Does Luther. So we're going to do all Luther Vandross songs with erotic poetry. It's going to be nice. Check it out. Good stuff. Yay. Get butt naked. Okay. that's funny. All right. We're going to talk to y'all later. Oh, and thank you to Genius Storm, too. I'm sorry. My bad. So thank y'all for coming out. God bless y'all. Good night. See you soon. Be safe.
Life.
Take care of yourself. All right. Love and Mike.
Till next time.
Till next time. Love y'all.